sing it in glory. Everybody's gonna be telling that story. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. There's a breaking and a coming in the morning. Better get ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's gonna have a wonderful time up there.
In the street.
We all get to heaven. Amen. Amen. We look forward to that day. And the greatest thing about heaven is being in the presence of Jesus. If you'll join me into a time of prayer to Him. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have together and to sing praises to you. And Father, the choral worship that our choir has led us in brings back a lot of memories. and it is reality. And we look forward to that day. And Father, until that day happens for us, we anticipate and look forward to growing closer and closer to you through Christ. And Father, we ask you not only to guide us and to encourage us, but to use us so that others might know that heaven is that opportunity if they would just give their lives to Christ. Father, thank you for your blessings. There's so many things that are going on in the membership of our church, their lives. And I just ask that, God, you know every single one of them. We pray that you would divinely intervene in their lives. Father, those watching on live stream, you know what's going on in their lives as well. And we just pray again for you to comfort, encourage, and strengthen. And through this service today, we want to give you all glory. And Father, we want to be edified and encouraged. And we want to hold on to the scriptures that guide our lives. Help them to be light to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here today at First Baptist Church, Sun City West. If this is your very first time, please take the opportunity to take the guest card in the pew in front of you if you already have not been given one. Fill it out in its entirety. When you leave today, just drop it in one of the offering boxes at one of the exits. And I would say, let us continue our time of worship and celebration.
I invite you to stand if you're comfortable doing so. We're going to continue our praise, Our God Reigns.
Announcing peace, proclaiming. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody here today. Would you bow with me in prayer, please, as we go to the Lord? Father, we're so grateful to be in your presence this morning. Father, you are the Lord of everything. Everything that we see, everything that we have, everything that exists is because of you. Nothing exists without you, Father. And we're so grateful that you have blessed us to be part of your family. Father, be with us this morning. Be with the pastor as he brings your message. I pray, Father, that we're open, our hearts are open, our ears are open, and that we take it to our very soul, Father. We ask you to bless us during this hour. Watch over and keep us all safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have you ever wandered in the valley? Those moments where you feel lost, wounded, broken. You look around and see an endless journey, surrounded on all sides, cut off from the surface above. The loneliness is palpable. The fear is real. But even here, God remains. For nothing can separate us from His love. Neither height or depth. Here in this chasm, in the midst of the struggle, we can find peace. We can find security. We can find hope. For we are not alone. He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. For He is God, the God of the valley.
That beautiful hymn that reminds us of that truth, "My Lord is near me all the time."
Our scripture reading for today is from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 18. Please follow along as we share the reading. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord has promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God will discipline you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat, barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, the thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. When you say to yourself, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me," but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. We are blessed by the reading of these words, for these are the words of the Lord.
As Jim always says, ladies first. We're in despair. Jesus, never fails.
Thank you, Diana. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful that you never fail. That the God of creation is perfect and can do no evil. That your Son never fails and can do no evil. And so I pray we'll keep our eyes on Him and listen to your Spirit that you placed in our lives as believers. And when things are good, that God, we will remember. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How soon they forget. That actually is more than a saying. You might know that sports fans quickly forget about the coach that led them to a championship the year before. Children forget the sacrifices of their parents. Students forget who taught them. And sometimes businesses forget who their clients are, as shown in this 1990 commercial.
I got a phone call this morning from one of our oldest customers. He fired us. After 20 years, he fired us. Said he didn't know us anymore. I think I know why. We used to do business with a handshake, face to face. Now it's a phone call and a fax. I'll get back to you later with another fax, probably. Well, folks, something's got to change. That's why we're going to set out for a little face-to-face chat with every customer we have.
But Ben, that's got to be over 200 cities.
I don't care.
Thanks.
If you're the kind of business that still believes personal service deserves a lot more than lip service, welcome to United.
Larry. Lewis.
That's the way we've been doing business for over 60 years.
Ben, where are you going?
To visit that old friend who fired us this morning.
United. Come fly the friendly skies.
Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in the abundance that we have that we forgot who gave us the opportunity. When we forget our heritage and when we forget those who help us to lay the foundation for our success in life, then we lose our way in the world. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we can lose our way in kingdom purposes. And we suffer all kinds of amnesia. We forget names. We forget dates. We even forget the names of our old friends. In our season of life, that's just part of the process of aging. Researchers say that starting about age 60, those things begin to take place. Fortunately, most of what we forget are not serious matters. But forgetfulness in the spiritual realm, now that's serious. In Deuteronomy, Moses gave his farewell address to the nation of Israel, to the people of God. He warned them about forgetting God's activity in their past through the last 40 years and beyond, when they experience and taste the affluence of what they presently had and what they were going to have. You see, God sustains us when we are a nobody and we have nothing. Debbie and I had been married for just a short while, and I remember we just didn't have any money. Payday hadn't come around for me, and we needed a gallon of milk, and I'll tell you what we did. We scoured through every single couch that we had, the cushions, in the chairs. We looked everywhere, and finally we found enough change for a gallon of milk. You know where we found it? Behind the washer and dryer. God sustains us when we are nobody and we have nothing. But it is possible to forget Him when we are somebody and we have something. It is vital for us because we just can't afford to cease to remember who God has been in our lives, because the temptation is going to be there, the temptation to forget. Moses addresses some of these kinds of lessons. He addressed it to the people of God in Deuteronomy, and it pertains to us as well. Three things this morning that I just want to lay out for you. Number one, beware of the temptation to forget God when life is good. I hear it all the time, and it's the right place to go, is that when we face challenges in life, whether it be a financial setback or whether it be a health concern or concern about relationships or our kids or our grandkids, or there is that need, that desire to go to God, the one who sustains us. What about when life is good? We're coasting along. The reality of forgetfulness is in the words. Look at what Moses said in verse 11. He said, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God." Why would he even say that? Because he knew. He knew what the temptation was going to be when they got into the full routine of life and abundance. He goes on to say, "Failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day." Now, this does not refer to mere absent-mindedness. You see, facts about God can be remembered while we still forget God, that relationship. Even during a time of worship, we can sing the hymns, and they can bring comfort to our heart because they're from the past. We know those words. But even with singing the songs and listening to God's word, the living reality of God can fade and can cease to be a guiding and governing principle in our lives. People can come to church every single Sunday and still not connect with Him on a personal level. And so he says, be careful. Abundance in life can blunt the edge of your awareness of God. Having everything that you need around you can create this atmosphere that I don't need anything else. Oh, yes, I believe in God. I have a Bible over here. In fact, I read it almost every day. And I say a prayer almost every day. But it's kind of interesting that our true awareness of God, His presence in our life as a living, growing relationship in depth, can fade. I think it's the ultimate contradiction that we can forget the one who is always and everywhere present. The reason for our forgetfulness of God is the present abundance of life. We can forget Him because of the very gifts that He has given us. And Moses looks out into the future and he says, look at all that God's given you. The land of flowing with milk and honey, all the streams. There are artesian wells that are just coming out of the land. There's grain. There's precious metals. There's cattle, flocks. And he can see that in the midst of not having anything, going into this land of plenty, there is that possibility. God is giving them these gifts, but he warns them, do not forget the Lord your God. When our hands are full, we can forget what we learned when our hands were empty. For four decades, the Hebrew people had wandered as nomads, like modern Bedouins. They were about to settle down in this permanent home that had been promised to their forefathers, a place flowing with milk and honey. They would soon accumulate much. They would have cities they didn't build. They would have crops that they didn't plant. They would have herds that they did not raise up. Inwardly, they would have more than enough food. Outwardly, their cattle and sheep and camels would be stouter and more powerful than what they had in the desert as they were roaming. They would begin to accumulate precious metals that they never had as nomads. For years, as wanderers, they had been on the edge of poverty. They accumulated nothing. But you can count on it. That when you have little, you live in dependence upon God. But when you have plenty, you can easily forget God. Moses continues his warning to the people of Israel. He says, forgetting God results in arrogant self-sufficiency. Arrogant self-sufficiency. Spiritual forgetfulness leads into an arrogant attitude. I'll never forget reading a book about Pytown, New Mexico, where my grandfather homesteaded and my dad spent the first 14, 15, 16 years of his life. And reading that book, I saw how poor they were. And you know, in the midst of their poverty, they'd gather together for hymn sings and church picnics, and it was just a common factor in that whole community. The people believed in God. They depended on Him. But it seems like over the course of time that the more that we gather in, we can realize, look what we did. Moses said in verse 14, the first part, he says, then your heart will become proud. Your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Pride is deep-seated in your personality. Pride grows in the heart when you forget the past absolute dependence upon God. Israel had forgotten the pit and the pathway of the past. Their very life depended upon God's protection and His provision. That's what got them through those 40 years. It's what got them through even that time of slavery in Egypt. God had protected Israel from the dryness and the dangers of the desert existence. And He had provided for them when it appeared that there was no provision for them. In the midst of nothing, God took care of this large group, somewhere between 600,000 and 2 million people, on this 40-year wandering experience. And He protected them from outside enemies, and He provided for them. We think about food and water. Came out of the impossible. We think about the strength to wonder. It came from God alone. To pull up stakes and move on to the next site, and pull up stakes and move on to the next site, and on, week after week, month after month, year after year. I think probably most of us have had early wilderness experiences. The times were when resources were short, we lived from day to day, the future was insecure. And we learned that God's provision was a living reality. And we can share stories about how God came in the nick of time to take care of us and provide for us and make sure we got through the next day, the next obstacle, the next challenge. But we also learned that as things get good and the abundance begins to come, there is a possibility that we will forget the God who sustained us when we had little. We will have an arrogant attitude. Also, spiritual forgetfulness leads to an arrogant confession. In verse 17, Moses said, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." He's talking to a group of folks that are about to inherit a land. That was full of abundance. And they had a history of coming from a place where they had nothing except God. And he said, there's going to come a time for you, your children, your grandchildren, and you will say, my power and the strength of my hands have done this. You notice that you'll say to yourself these things. You may go through the motions of worshiping God and thanking God in public, but to yourself, you offer yourself congratulations. Look what we have accomplished, dear. Look what we have done over the course of our life. Look what we have built. And reality is that, hey, you worked hard. You studied while others were playing. You worked while others were sleeping. You were learning while others were goofing off. And so you did put your energies into it. You put everything into life you possibly could to make it better for you and for your kids and your grandkids and the generations beyond. So outwardly, we might go through the motions of praising God, but inwardly, we congratulate ourselves and say, soul, take thine ease. Look at everything that we've built. Your energy and your ability, it did that. And God, the mention of God, begins to fade and disappear. God helps themselves, helps those who help themselves, right? Isn't that the saying? God helps them who help themselves. Instead of singing, "How great thou art," you hum inwardly, "How great I am." I tried to change the words a little bit. Oh my goodness. When I in awesome wonder consider all the things I have done, I see the results, I hear the accolades, my power on display for all to see. Then sings my soul, "How great I am, how great I am." Now, you don't say that out loud, but you might could hum that. Some might say, "Pastor, that's just absurd." But is it really? Because why do you think Moses was telling God's chosen people these very things? The real question is, how can I recover from having that kind of attitude? Recovery, Moses is saying, recovery from forgetting about God is a deliberate process. How do you get over spiritual amnesia? How do you get over that unintentional forgetting about the one who sustained you? And I want you to understand about the unintentional part. Because there wouldn't be anybody that would intentionally say, "Out of here, God, you did nothing, I did it all." But unintentionally, look what we did. Look what our perseverance and the strength of our hands, look what it did. Listen, as our recovery begins, it's going to take a deliberate effort at the memory level. In other words, we need to stop And we need to sit down. And we need to remember that God alone sustained your life and continues to sustain your life. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, the first part, Moses says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Peter said in verse 17 that we're going to say, "Look what we did." But he says, but listen, remember. When that thought comes in, when the temptation comes in to say, "Look at what I have done," remember. It is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So you should stop and sit down if necessary. You should write out God's provisions for your life. Let's take some time in quietness of the moment to reflect back through your life step by step and just write down how God provided for you and sustained you year by year, event by event. And remember. I always think that if you genuinely relive your life in memory, that you'll rediscover that it was God alone who provided the provision that you needed. He gave you the ability to confront any situation. He gave you the resources to accomplish anything that you needed. He gave you the power to persevere. He gave you those things. So I think the central message of Deuteronomy is that God alone is the author of life's provision. And it's a lesson that we should put everywhere we can see it. Further, remember that God sustains you because of His faithfulness and not your performance. It's not because you did so well that He sustained you. It's because He is faithful. Deuteronomy 18, again, the first part, he says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power, the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today." You see, He's the one who's the author of our provision. And it's not because we work harder. It's not because of our performance that we're in the realm of Christian life. If we had judges, we'd be a 10 or a 9.5. It's all because of His faithfulness. Moses said, "And so confirms His covenant." He gives you the power. He gives you the ability to do the things that you need to do in life, thus fulfilling the covenant that He made with their ancestors and with us as a promise. So while He wants us to be obedient and while He wants us to be faithful in our Christian life, it is not based upon our performance. It's based upon His faithfulness, the one who's the creator of the universe, the one who is sovereign above all, the one who is almighty. See, God's blessings in life are a result of His own promise, not our changing performance. Although I will tell you that our realization to come to a place where we realize, my goodness gracious, I've been taking the credit myself, and I haven't been boasting about it. I haven't written letters about it, and I haven't put it out on the street in a big sign, but inwardly, I've been taking credit for these things. And I haven't been giving God that credit. And so in that case? A recommitment, a rededication, a commitment to God, saying, God, here's where I've messed up, and I want you to know you are number one in my life. I'm going to be faithful to you, not based upon my performance that says, okay, if I'm more faithful, you're going to be even more faithful to me. But your faithful is going to sustain me regardless. But my commitment is to stay with you as the director of my life. He blesses because he is true to his own word and to his name. Who will ever forget 9/11? Each of us remembers the shock that we felt. Just my mentioning that date, it brings back emotion. Every one of us here probably can remember where we were when we heard about it or when we saw it. We can remember how silent the skies were for several days. We lived in the Seattle area, and there was a flight. We were kind of a flight pattern was right through our house or over our house, and how quiet it was. I can't remember exactly, but it was a day or two afterwards, our church hosted a community-wide prayer service, and we were packed out from people in the community as well as our own people. Some people I hadn't seen in a while. And they were there. And they were praying fervently. They were fervently praying, searching for answers. They were pleading to God because of all the uncertainty. Sunday worship attendance elevated for weeks afterwards. People realized they were out of control. They couldn't control those things. They couldn't control a lot of things. And they had this idea they could control it all. They didn't really need God. But when everything fell out, all of a sudden they rushed back to the place where they felt they could find God. But slowly over the course of time, as our nation came to grips with things and things balanced out, our Sunday morning worship returned back to its pre-9/11 attendance. And I think it speaks boldly that we just get on with our life because we many times feel self-sufficient. Amid tragedy and uncertainty, many had sought God. It was out of their control. They made promises to God. But once again, self-sufficiency took over. The temptation to forget God when everything is back to the norm became a reality. The excitement of people coming together. And we've seen it in times of revival. And God moves greatly in the midst of a congregation, and people are moved and they're on fire and they're excited about what God is doing. And over the course of time, you see that begins to die out. Self-sufficiency. Listen, when we recover from spiritual forgetfulness is when we will remember that all we have is the result of his faithfulness to his word and his name. That's when recovery will take place. And this morning I'm asking you to remember. I'm asking you to hear from God, to acknowledge in your heart and your mind that he is the one who sustains you, not just in the past, but right now and well into the future. And it is not you yourself. And it's not me. And so this morning, I'm asking you to recommit yourself to him, to reestablish him as the priority, to be aware of his presence and his power in your lives, and this morning to reaffirm that during this invitation. where you are, if you want to come to the prayer altar or you want to pray with me, but I ask you, I beg you to reaffirm that, recommit that today. Don't fall to the temptation of forgetting Him. I'm asking if you have not ever had a personal relationship with Christ, that this morning you would choose to say, yes, I want Him. I'm asking you to join this ministry here, the work here, that we believe 100% that God sustains us to accomplish that ministry. And this morning, that's the invitation. Because that temptation is always there to forget. To forget the God who has sustained you in the difficult times. And I'm asking you, please, don't do that. Reaffirm your commitment to Him. And understand it's His faithfulness that gives you the power and the ability. And so honor Him with your life, with your words, with your inner thoughts, and give Him the glory. Father, in this time of invitation, we just ask you, please, guide us, but help us to make the commitments that we need to acknowledge, to recover from our forgetfulness of you, and to remember and to affirm your faithfulness in our lives every single day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please stand for our invitation.
Take up my cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads,
go ahead and be seated if you would. I want to remind you right before Nancy shares her our opportunities for ministry this week that our church conference, quarterly church conference, is this Wednesday at 4 o'clock. We'd love for you all to be here. We obviously need a quorum, but there are some packets as you leave. They're pretty thick this time because we have a major building issue that is recommendation is coming, and so there's all kinds of pictures and things. So I'd ask you to take those if you would, review them if you would, and then be here as we need to discuss that. We need to get that work done as quick as we can. Okay, Ms. Nancy.
Tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I hope that you will plan to be with us for Vacation Bible School. We will have VBS on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 9 until noon. And I'm excited to tell you that we have 5 guys from Set Free who will be coming to join us again this year. And they are driving all the way from Eloy. So you don't have nearly as far to come. So I hope that you will plan to be here. But they are excited, and we are going to have a wonderful time learning, enjoying fellowship, snacks, games, and so forth. So please plan to be here. On August the 27th, that is a Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a hymn sing and homemade ice cream social. Two of my favorite things, and I hope that you will plan to be here. Some of you on your way out on Sunday say, well, I didn't know any of those songs we sang today. Other weeks you say, oh, I'm so glad we sang some of the old hymns. So I invite you to come that night because the whole time that we are singing will be devoted to your selections of older hymns. That will be at 5 o'clock. And if you have an ice cream freezer and would be willing to make some to bring, not Bluebell, not the kind you buy at the store, but homemade ice cream, if you would call me or tell me, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, this morning we have 4 that have come to join our church. Glenn and Sherry, one of you might come and stand with me. Which class are you in? Hey, Bob, come on down, Bob. I know it's a long ways because you're way back in the back pew, but come on back. Glenn and Sherry, Sherry is the daughter of Doyle and Nancy. And we've just been celebrating because she's gone through quite the adventure, I would say, with cancer on the tongue. She has really relied upon God through this whole process. You stand right there, Bob. It's great. And and God has brought healing, and there is no sign of cancer in her body anywhere. And so it's just a wonderful, marvelous testimony. And Glenn's a long-haul driver. He's got his truck, and he goes crisscrossing all across the country, so we get to see him periodically. Man, I tell you what, strong man of faith and a good driver, too. We appreciate that. All in favor of accepting Glenn and Sherry, if you would show that by the sign aye, please.
Aye.
All right. If you're against that, no? Okay. All right. I always have to say that, just so you know. Carolyn, come right up here. Carolyn Wirtz. Carolyn has been attending for a while, and Carolyn promised me, she said, as soon as I get back from my cruise, I'm going to join. Yeah, that's pretty good, huh? If you kept your promise. That's exactly right. She's part of our dinner fellowship group, and we always enjoy our time together, don't we? Carolyn comes to join our church, and by statement. All in favor of accepting Carolyn, if you would show that by the sign aye.
Aye.
All right, sign no. And whose class are you in? We are going to, you know what? I think I'm going to have just Brenda, if you'll stand up here. Yeah, I would appreciate that. Yeah. And Cleveland, come on up. Cleveland Denali and Cleveland Joyce, you already joined and you're with this guy. Why don't you come on down? She's coming. Yeah, yeah. Cleveland, we had a great conversation this week, and I learned a lot about Cleveland and his journey through life. And boy, such a man of faith. I'll come right around here. Yes, and as we talked, what I could sense is that God had just been with you at a lot of different intersections through the course of your life and guided you, and you were open to that, which I think is just remarkable. And you guys got together a few years ago, and man, from that point on, it's just been good stuff. Yeah, that's my understanding anyway, from what he told me, Joyce, just so you know. All in favor of accepting Cleveland, if you would show that by the sign aye. And if you're against that, the sign no. We're so excited to have all these folks come today, and we're going to be giving you the right hand of Christian fellowship. Have you joined a class yet? Have you gone to Bible study? Which class? Oh, David. David, you want to come down and stand?
Sure.
Yeah. I always like to attach people to their Bible study classes if they can. Those small groups are so important. They're just like a little flock, and we just like to connect them. It's the very best way. So in just a few moments after our closing prayer, our folks are going to come around and give you the right hand of Christian fellowship. And in doing that, they're saying, welcome to your church family. And secondly, we're going to be working with you and praying with you in these days ahead. And we look forward to what God has, because we are firmly believe that God places those in the body for a particular purpose and reason. So we look forward to that time, okay? So y'all stay right here, and we'll celebrate together, okay? All right.
Would you stand as Clara, one of our very, very faithful choir members, comes to lead us in our closing prayer? Let's pray.
May the Lord bless you and watch over you. May May the Lord bless you and watch over you. May he smile on you and be kind to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Have a blessed day. Thank you.